As we witness through our Bible, through stories of the original peoples of this land, and through our culture even now, we are a people of story. Stories illustrate our values. They hold powerful messages of beginnings, of why things are the way they are, and of truths. The most powerful stories move us in some kind of way. They impact us, maybe even over and over again. I wonder how many times you have heard the Easter story. If this was your first time hearing it, welcome to the story. If not, welcome to another hearing. The thing is, no matter how many times you have heard this story or read it, you always come to it new. Physically speaking, you are a new person every day. There are cells dying inside you and new cells coming to life all the time in you. We're constantly shedding skin cells, no matter how much we say to each other, always stay the same. We never do. And the same goes for coming to our sacred text, mentally and spiritually. You have had experiences that have informed you since you last read this story. So new things are going to pop out at you. And that's the power of a sacred text. That's the power of relationships and being changed by them. That's the power of a God who is in dynamic relationship with us. This Easter morning, I came to the text wondering what kind of story the stones could share. In particular, the stone that was rolled away from the tomb. Stones have a long life. They've seen so many things. They've heard it all. They know the truths. When we walk ancient paths, we know and wonder these things about the stones under our feet. Even in the story of Jesus triumphantly entering Jerusalem at the beginning of Holy Week, he alludes to the stones knowing what is going on. As the Pharisees tell Jesus to order his disciples to stop saying that the triumphal Messiah has come. Jesus says, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out. For they, the stones, even know that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is the cosmic Christ of all creation. So this morning, I wonder, what story would the stone tell of Jesus rising from the dead and coming back to life? I can imagine that stones share stories with each other. The stones knew who this was. The tomb knew who this Jesus of Nazareth was, who had died and was laid there. The stone that was going to hold him there for the rest of eternity in death knew. And if they didn't know, witnessing such a thing, they came to know. If we asked the stones of that tomb to share the story of that day, they would tell the story of resurrections. Yes, resurrections. For more than one happened that day. The first was the resurrection of Jesus, his life stronger than the death he had experienced a couple days before. Arising from the dead that his disciples did not yet understand when they raced to the tomb to confirm what Mary had said to them and saw that the body was no longer there, that the tomb was empty. The second resurrection story that these stones witnessed that day was that of Mary of Magdala. So let me dive a little more deeply to share with you what I mean when I say that someone beyond Jesus can be resurrected. Resurrection means to make something right again and to revive. This includes the making right again of broken relationships that need the work of forgiveness in order to reconcile. It includes the hard work of the grief process when we experience loss. It requires a process, a growth, a transformation of some kind. As you can imagine, resurrection is not usually instantaneous, but resurrection is always a miracle. If the stones could tell Mary's story, they would tell the story of a woman who struggled with seven demons, none of them named, but all of them cast out by Jesus. They would tell the story of a faithful disciple of Jesus who always waited, always listened, and followed Jesus even to the darkest places, and who always emerged with new life. They would tell a story of growth, transformation, and resurrection. So after Simon, Peter, and John left the empty tomb, not understanding what had really happened to Jesus, Mary remained, weeping outside the tomb. She did not busy herself. She did not leave. She stuck around. She was present and did the hard work of grieving, wanting to make things right again, making sure that his body was accounted for. And it was Mary who was gifted with seeing Jesus first, the risen Christ. So let's back up a little, because Mary didn't see Jesus at first. Two angels appeared when she was alone and asked why she was weeping, and she shared why. And then Jesus appeared after that and asked her the same question, "Whom are you looking for?" And she did not recognize him, thinking him the gardener. And she gave him the same answer she had given the angels. And Jesus called her name Mary. It was hearing her name that opened her eyes to her teacher and her Lord's presence. It was her name that changed the scene. It changed her. There is such power in our names. They are a part of us. When we're called by the name of our hearts, we feel known. We feel seen. We feel accepted. It is core to our identity. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, knows Mary by name and knows each of us by name, and calls us. And so he calls Mary at the tomb. And it is in being seen and known that Mary of Magdala is resurrected. Her despair has been turned into hope. Her sackcloths of grief have been turned into clothes of joy. The dark place of death she's been walking has been turned into a bright path of light. She was for sure continuing on her path and process of healing and wholeness, being imbued with new life, just as she had before. But this time, she was told to share it, to share the news. Jesus says next, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brothers and tell them that I am ascending." So in the original Greek, brothers is a term that's gender neutral, referring to his disciples, whoever they are, any gender. He calls them his family that day, which is a new name he has for them. He sends Mary, one of his beloved disciples, out to proclaim the good news of Jesus' resurrection, the first with the news. What a thing for the stones to witness. Jesus named Mary and the rest of his disciples as family that day. He rose, and with him he brought about a rising, a movement from dark to light, from despair to hope and joy, and from death to life among his followers at the time and many afterward. All of this was because Mary was open to receive the presence of the Lord, to receive the truth, and then to follow, and to go and tell what she had seen and heard. All this was because she was open to Christ's healing work in her life, and open to the belief that things that were once dead, they can be revived, that the broken can be made whole. Resurrection is naturally occurring, as you can see with the rocks and the flowers. I mentioned this throughout Lent, that somehow those dang dandelions just get through the sidewalk, and we just can't, for the life of us, get them to stop. Well, good. That's resurrection. And now when you see one, you can think about that. But you know, resurrection, it takes time. It's a process and it's a journey. It takes hard work, but if you're open, it can be healing. Like it was for the butterfly in the Cherokee legend we heard today. It can revive you. It can revive relationships between us. And resurrection is always a miracle. Friends, because of Mary's sharing, I have seen the Lord, we now share today together the good news of Jesus' resurrection. And we share the truth that we too have resurrections. We too are named and are the family of Jesus, children of God, movers and shakers of the Holy Spirit. We too are called to discipleship in the name of the risen Christ. The stories those stones could tell. To bring this back home to our lives, I invite you to consider, what stories would the stones beneath your feet tell? Might there be little and big resurrections happening in your daily lives? Take a look. Celebrate the victories of love over hate, hope and joy over despair, light over dark, life over death, because those are no minor feats. And we are raised up by Christ, and we rise with Christ every time we overcome. Every time we come out of our tombs and emerge from our cocoons, that's the practice of resurrection. Little Easters all the time. This is the good news. Amen and amen.